Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games. Brought to you by Oarock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of Oarock.
I'm Michael Gray. I'm the head anime romance drawer, I guess, of Oarock Studios.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You were just telling me a little about that before we started recording.
Yes, I save all the good stuff for before the podcast.
Yes.
and not like also after the podcast. That's when we have all the great stuff.
Yeah. See, this is why I'm very anti-small talk. We shouldn't be talking if we're not recording. It's there's no point. That's actually how I feel in most of my friendships.
I know some people are like, oh, I hang out with my friends and we were just talking and we didn't record a podcast together.
It's messed up.
You've got to monetize your friendships, bro. So I was at the art store the other day and I saw they had like those basic books. It's like, oh, how to draw anime dogs or natural poses. The Master Guide to Drawing Anime. So I picked up the Master Guide to Drawing Anime Romance. Apparently, Master Guide to Anime is a series. They've got so many entries. So I drew a picture for one. It was the picture of the heiress. I don't think that's one of the characters in any of our games. But my daughter decided which one because she wanted to color it in. And that's what happened. So it's just me dinking around with trying to I'll try to send it if my phone will actually let me do that, but yeah. Still trying to figure out how we could get the get pictures. I guess you had good pictures at some point for
that was actually in my notes for this month.
Oh, great. So you work on those notes. I'll try to find a way to get this picture sent to you.
So we're still trying to figure out what the art style should be for the game. So we're kind of exploring two different routes. Michael is exploring drawing characters, and I've been exploring, as we talked about a couple of months ago, AI generated art. And boy, have I been having fun with that! So I don't really recall where we'd left it before. I was playing around with one AI art generator, and the images were coming out pretty cool, but also pretty weird.
But it looks like the weirdness is something that would be easy enough to fix.
Well, I'm talking about the ones from a few months ago where I remember I generated like the world's largest ball of twine, and it made like this weird bulging ball of twine with like a door in it and stuff like that.
Oh. Well, I was talking about when you got, like, you sent a picture of somebody, and because it's AI art, like, the bottom of the glasses are just blurry.
Right.
But that would be easy enough to fix. I could go over that with, like, a pen or something, and now the glasses are all just perfect, right? That's why I was saying, like, those theoretically should be easy enough to fix.
Yeah. So I've now switched over. I was invited into the, I think a lot of people were invited at the same time, actually, into the beta for this one AI art generator called it's probably pronounced Dolly, like the artist, but it's spelled Dall-E. So I'm in the beta for that now, and I'm finding that to be a lot more flexible and a lot more powerful. And I'm able to type in like very specific things like a cute anime nerdy mom with glasses and black hair in visual novel style, something like that, and it'll
novel style. Okay, so that's what we were missing earlier.
So I added that in there too, and it's cool. So you put in like that prompt and it'll first generate like four different images and based on that prompt, and you know, maybe they're all garbage, but a lot of the times I'm finding at least one, if not multiple of them, kind of works for whatever I'm trying to do. So I've basically like been picking the best one and then kind of continuing to iterate on that one image until I get something that looks pretty good. And I've created a couple characters now with each ones with multiple expressions, and I think they mostly look cool, though you're right, there is still like some weirdness. Like, it's actually kind of interesting the way you do it. Like, you once you generate a few images, you can actually also upload an image into there and have it iterate on that. So, like, I'll generate the first character and then, like, say its hand is weird, like it has eight fingers or something. You can re-upload the image and, like, within the website, erase the hand and essentially have it fill in that gap and generate a new hand for you.
So it'd, like, make, like, nine different hands until you find the one that fits?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's sort of how I've been, like, tweaking the images how I go along, is that, like, I first pick the image I really like, and then I sort of erase the parts that look a little funky and have it continue to fill those parts in until everything looks mostly all right. And then, like you said, too, like, you could then just go in and retouch it by hand, anything that you're not too happy with. So I've been quite excited about this. I was having
that
a lot of fun.
Sounds great.
With it.
Isn't that like the nightmare scenario for anyone who does art professionally? Well, they're being replaced by machines.
So the way I kind of see it is, for us specifically, I can't really speak to the gaming industry as a whole, but for us specifically, like, we can't afford an artist, right? Like, that's sort of been our thing for the, you know, since we started working on games, is that we cannot afford to pay an artist to create this stuff for us. So it's not really a decision between having an artist or replacing that artist with a robot. It's a decision between having art and not having art. So I don't know.
In the same way, I feel like with music too, like,
yeah,
all these indie people, they don't have time. Or, you know, I can't really play musical instruments. If I could, I'd try to write a song. I'm sure it'd be silly, but
I actually have found a couple websites that use AI to make music too. I have not had as much success with those. But yeah, the other cool thing about DALL-E is that I believe I'm reading the licensing correct, is that you're welcome to use the images. You just need to give them credit, like, list that you use DALL-E to create as a tool in creating the art, and, like, you're good to go, which is not how it works with a lot of these other AI art generators. A lot of them require you, like, you can generate non-commercial images for free, but you have to pay if you want to use them for commercial purposes. That does not appear to be a requirement for DALL-E, which is a huge plus for us, obviously.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm, like I said, I'm quite excited, and I was able to use it to make a couple background images too, using kind of a similar process where I first asked, I think it was like the interior of your mom's bank in anime style, something like that. That's how I got that first bank image. And then again, it's like, okay, well, these tables don't make geometric sense, so I'm going to erase those and see what it tries to put in their place. Or this ATM looks pretty cool, but it's crooked. This table is nice, but it has only three legs. Stuff like that.
And
So you just kind of keep iterating and iterating until you get what you want. I should also say, like, by default, you're allowed to do, it's like 25 or 50, something like that, images a month, and beyond that, you do have to pay a small fee to generate more images, but it's a very small fee compared to the commercial restrictions I've seen on other generators, and certainly compared to paying an artist. This is a fee that we can afford.
Oh, that's good.
So that was my big excitement last month when we missed our podcast last month. That was the main thing. That was the big cool thing I had been working on, I think, was messing around with this AI stuff.
Yeah, no, that's way cooler than I just drew a picture and it got colored in. Hooray!
Well, I'm excited. We could also do, if you want, like, I mean, would you want to do a poll to see, like, which one people prefer, so we know where to go going forward?
I was going to, like I said, try to touch up whatever, just send me whatever mm-hmm. images you have for the main characters, because I think I just have the one that you mm-hmm. tweeted at me
a month
ago.
I can send you what I have, yeah. I have two backgrounds, and I have two characters with multiple expressions each currently. This is with the free things that I got. I haven't paid anything yet.
Yeah, because I meant to look at it and try to manipulate it, get different poses are different. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been able to figure out a way to make different poses. Expressions has been a little easier. Because I figured out at first, if I erase the person's entire face, it'll just generate an entirely different face that may not look at all like the original one, so that's no good. But if I just erase, like, the mouth and maybe the eyebrows, and then I tell it to make an angry anime mom, then it'll give me, like, eyebrows and a mouth that suit what I'm going for a little better. That's a little trickier, though.
Yeah.
And maybe that's also something that you would want to do instead of me trying to figure it out. Maybe it'd be easier for you to manipulate the faces. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like, wasn't that the case with Francie Drew? I'd have to look up that artwork. But it was like her facial expression just changed, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
Well, it's definitely the case, like, if she's angry and there are, like, two different pictures of her, like, angry. And really what happened, well, I erased the angry mouth and then drew a second angry mouth. And then she'd sort of just shuffle back and forth between the two angry mouths. With every single line of dialogue, she'd have a different angry mouth. That's how it worked.
I do remember that, yeah.
So it is possible to do, like, just that.
Yeah, and I was thinking, too, like, I've seen other indie games where they don't really change the poses at all. It is really just kind of the face that changes, though. I think those games are a little shorter than the mom's game will probably end up being, so I don't know how well that works for a longer game or if that'll be an issue or not.
Yeah, the mom's game, I don't know how long it's going to be.
I think it's going to be pretty long. It certainly took me a long time to edit the script anyway. Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at Francie, and it's almost entirely just the face changes. There's, like, one where she's holding her arm out a little, like she's explaining something. But the rest are just changing the mouth, eyes, eyebrows, etc. And you're able to get quite a range of emotions out of just that, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because redrawing, removing the body, yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
So, I have not done anything with the scripts that you sent me for the mom romance game, the mom book or whatever we're calling it.
Yeah.
I believe I posted, I took one look at the first page and then everything was red. It was a giant sea of red and I got scared.
I'm sorry.
And it's not your fault. Oh. It was...
You had mentioned that you wanted to do another draft of it and I took that to heart. I'm sure I did go overboard in some parts, so feel free to reject anything.
Gosh, like, it wasn't even anything important. Like the line, hide Brittany, hide Laura, hide Augusta, and then screen black. Like, I mean, those are just stage directions, really. So.
Oh, yeah, I think I had just changed that because I had, like, rearranged how what characters were talking at one point or something.
Yeah, like, but that talking, still just creates a big sea of red.
Yeah, sure. But maybe I should have just accepted that on my own or something.
It's one of the things I didn't know how to handle, just the opening scene. And we've got a similar opening scene in, like, Cat President. I think, what we do in the first Cat President is, like, they introduce themselves, like, two at a time.
Yeah.
Rather than having, like, all five characters on screen at once introducing themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we do that in both of the games, right? Because then in the second one, it's like
you're
a rideshare driver, and you pick up a couple of the cats, and then we meet a few others later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like three of them are sharing the same ride, and then three of them are inside the convention place, I believe. Yeah, but in the mom's game, it's just they're all there. It's only four of them, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But for whatever reason, I thought only three of them could fit on screen at once, and watch as once we finish the artwork and then all four of them can be on screen at once.
Oh yeah. I mean, in the Santas game, we have all the Santas on the screen at once at one point. It does get extremely crowded, but it's possible.
Yeah, so that was probably easier than me playing the game of, because what I did was I wrote out the dialogue and then I had to play the game of, okay, well, I want each one on screen as long as possible, so and each character has to be on screen while they talk. So it just took a while to figure out. So there's a bunch of show characters and hide characters. Like, every single line is finished with, like, one or two hide characters show the next character.
Well, you might have also been thinking too. I think you used like show left, show right, show center, and then it's like, well, you use all three of those. There's nothing left. Those are all the directions.
Maybe that's why I decided there are only three.
Of course, you can't put another one
on screen at once. Yeah, that must be.
Yeah, because I think you had written this like a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
And I think since then we've talked about how you can kind of show it like position point one instead. 0.2, 0.3, 0.4, 0.642, etc.
I still, like 25%. Maybe that would be an easier way for me to think about it.
Sure.
Because 0.1, sure, yeah, that's 10%, but like, I mean, that's not really difficult math, yeah. But...
I mean, whatever is easiest for you.
What's easiest for me is not having the X pause thing work differently every single time. Sometimes it has to be in parentheses, sometimes it doesn't. I think that was...
Yeah, I understand. I've done too much coding of putting and moving characters around that I've internalized how that works pretty well by now. So it's just sort of instinctual at this point. I always do 0.5, and if there's two characters, it's usually like 0.75, 0.25, or 0.2 and 0.8, 0.33, 0.66, depending on how close I want them to be. There's three characters, it's what, like 0.15, 5, 0.85, something like that, to keep them fairly spread out.
Yeah, gosh. Yeah. So, like, that's half of the first intro, and like I said, that's what scared me away, I suppose. But also, I've been working on the scripts for the superhero game. I want to finish, like, pathway number one first before I do any other writing.
Sure.
It's like, oh, I feel like I'm so close, and I'm sure I won't be so close. I'm sure it's still going to take me more months, but it honestly will. I think I'm at chapter two. Did I finish chapter two yet? Nope, didn't finish writing chapter two. Okay. But it looks like it's settling on 8-page chapters, so...
Okay.
Hopefully that'll work. I know you're concerned with the Santa's game, because those were all 4 chapters each, but those were rather short chapters.
Yeah, I think I just noticed that some people complained about it being too short. But, I mean, people always find something to complain about.
Okay, and then I sent you the Goosebumps stuff, right? The Babysitter's Nightmare, or whatever we're calling it. I sent you those scripts.
Probably.
That's what I did in the past 2 months, because I finished writing the Babysitter's Club, Goosebumps, crossover.
Oh yeah, there
stuff.
It is. You're right. Yeah.
Well, that's a thing.
That's right. You sent it to me on my birthday. Aww. What a good birthday present.
Get to pretend it was on purpose.
I'm sure it was.
I definitely, totally like that's my writing schedule. I focus it around
birthdays and holidays.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what I get for Halloween.
That'll be great. Oh,
it should have been this. This is the spooky game. Dang.
Actually, yeah.
Well, I've had another exciting project that I've been working on this month. I can't... Well, you know why I'm doing this. I can't tell the people listening why, though. But there's a reason. I've been going back to the original Cat President game and actually... replacing a lot of the stock images that we used when we first made that game back in 2016. I've been sort of researching and trying to figure out a little more about like what model releases means and the various complicated rights that go into using stock art in your game. Because what we did when we originally released that game is I ended up using a lot of stock photos of people that were released under either a public domain license or a Creative Commons license. And at the time, I kind of thought, well, I'm good. That's all I need to worry about. But I don't think that is really true. Because For people specifically, for pictures of people, there's another thing you have to think about, which is the model releases, the rights to their likenesses, their faces. And the way I sort of finally figured out, while the photographer has the rights to the photo that they've taken. They don't necessarily have the rights to the image of the thing they took a photo of. For example, it's like if I took a picture of a can of Coca-Cola, it doesn't necessarily mean I could put that image of Coca-Cola in my game just because I took the photo. It's sort of the same idea here. That's sort of how I finally understood it, is when I was reading something that compared a person's face to like a corporate logo. And if you don't necessarily have the rights to use that corporate logo, you have to make sure you have to remove it or blur it or whatever. And it's sort of the same idea with identifiable people in your games. So with that long explanation in mind, I've been going back and replacing the stock models for pictures of people that don't have the model releases listed on the listings on the stock art websites I downloaded them from. Some do, so some characters were able to keep with no changes. Lizzie, for example. Lizzie will not change, which is nice.
Because she shows up more than any other character, right?
Yes, exactly. But some characters are getting the axe. I have a list. Do you want the full list, or is it going to make you sad?
Poor Thunderpaw. I'm going to miss him.
No! Thunderpaw is safe. There actually is a whole different set of rules for animals and things like that too. I don't want to get into that
because they can't sign their release forms.
They can't put their little paw prints on the form. But no, so we're having to replace college student, rock patriot, Mr. Drew, Bernice, skateboard guy, Lola, Michelle, Kimmy, and pet store clerk are all getting the axe. Pretty devastated about a skateboard guy, to be honest. I feel like he's kind of iconic.
He was fantastic. I don't know what he's doing now.
But yeah, so in going over, I just went over every single picture of a human and looked for either the likeness rights, the model releases, or if it's clearly a picture that somebody took of themselves and then released it into the public domain or under Creative Commons. I kind of figured that's probably good enough at that point. They have the rights to their own face. They put the picture out there for people to use. So it's the main character's crappy boyfriend. That's what that person did. So he gets to stay in the game too for that reason.
Oh boy, I remember that pathway.
Yeah, which is good because that's a really good picture.
Oh.
So a fun issue that comes along with replacing some of these pictures is that in order to maintain continuity between Cat President 1 and 2, that means I'll also have to update Cat President 2. Specifically, Mr. Drew, Bernice, and Skateboard Guy, they all reappear in the second game.
Because I love Skateboard Guy. I purposely put him in because he's so cool.
I know.
Mr. Drew was only in like that... He's only in the bonus game,
yeah.
Right? So he totally didn't need to be there.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. Mr. Drew is the only person so far I've actually gotten the replacement photos for. Everyone else has been cast as of today, I think.
Oh, boy.
But I don't have the pictures for everybody yet. But Mr. Drew is already taken care of. And we are now going to have to refer to her as Mrs. Drew.
It's interesting because I know I purposely did like Mr. Drew and Miss Hardy based on Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. So they had already been. I mean, that's where I came up with the names and I just gender swapped them. But now Drew has been gender swapped back into being. So it's official. This is Nancy Drew now, right?
I'm furious that I didn't notice that. Gosh darn it. Oh, you snuck another one by me, Michael.
I'm so sorry. But that's so why the teachers had themed naming. Mm.
But yeah. Mrs. Drew will be played by my mother.
Oh, okay.
Because I was talking about this with her on the phone a couple of weeks ago, and she was like, ooh, can I be in the game? And that seemed like a pretty good fit for her, considering she is a retired school teacher herself.
Yeah, I guess I can convince some of my other family members. I don't know. It'd have to be my parents, I guess. Yeah, I can't think of any. Yeah.
Well, your sister's going to be in the game, or I've been messaging with her about that.
Okay, that's cool. Because my wife's in my game. I'm sure the kids are in the game somewhere. Mm-hmm. But does not want to be in any games anymore, which is sad.
Oh. Well, Mary's in the second game, certainly. Mm-hmm. Remember, she's the antagonist of the bonus pathway.
Yeah.
If I recall. So I said that the AI art was a kind of a big project for me last month. So this has sort of been a big one for me this month, is the models. There's also a couple backgrounds that I'm replacing, two of which there were some rights issues. And then there's a couple I'm replacing just because I saw a bunch of logos in the background. Like the pet store one has too many visible logos for my comfort. So I just took another one. I went to a pet store literally earlier today and took a picture of a bunch of fish tanks. And now that's going to be in the game instead.
That works.
And a few songs too. This was kind of an annoying one. Sorry, I'm going on so much. This was kind of an annoying one because some of the music that was originally in 2016 released under a Creative Commons license has since changed to a paid license. So it kind of feels like while I'm making all these big changes, I probably need to get rid of those too. So I did that. That was kind of frustrating. And also there's one track that keeps getting dinged in people's streams as being a copyright violation. It's not. That is a false ding. But I'm swapping that song out as well, just so it stops being an issue for people.
Which song is this, out of curiosity?
It's The Pineapple Rag by Scott Joplin. Oh. It's a public domain recording of it, but someone is claiming that they own the rights to it, so...
That sounds very much like the internet. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I got an email from someone about it this month who was really upset and very mad at me because of this.
Like it's your fault. I mean, even if you were,
yeah.
Because I've encountered that in like a couple of games. It's like I don't really blame the bigger game companies. Obviously, we're just two people, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a bigger company can actually afford music and they get the rights to have certain music in their game, it's like, that's fine.
Yeah. It's hard to keep in mind, like, because I think of the games primarily as just things that people play, you know, on their own, on their computer. I don't necessarily think about streamers when I'm making the games, and maybe I need to think about them more. I don't know.
Yeah, I know with YouTube, it's always fun when something from, like, times past gets dinged, and...
Yeah.
It's like, okay, can I just mute it? What can I do?
I noticed some games, like, if they use a lot of, like licensed music, like, you know, games that, like, pay a record label to use their games and their songs in their game, they'll actually include a mode that is like streamer friendly mode where it replaces all that stuff with public domain tracks instead. But we're already like using the public domain in Creative Commons stuff, so it really should never be an issue for us.
Yeah.
It's kind of why it's quite annoying when it is.
I was actually thinking about the game Gone Home, where there's one point where you can play a record and you know, it plays like this song from the 1930s. And just uploading that walkthrough to my YouTube channel got dinged on just that video. Took me a while to realize what it was. I'm like, oh, that's it. So I just went and re-recorded all the audio for that part.
Yeah, that sounds annoying.
It is, but I mean, they wanted to have that song in the game. I'm sure there was a reason for it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's been the story here. And what about you, Michael? What have you been up to?
It was Pride and Prejudice and Murder got released, so that was interesting. Yay. It was a surprise. I had no idea that it was going to be... I was not warned ahead of time, and we hadn't like filled out all the paperwork and anything even, so I really had not expected it to come out. And I think just this past week, we're still working on the paperwork and figuring out payments and such.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to split it 50-50 with my co-author.
Very uncomplicated math.
I'm trying to find ratings for the game, but I guess on Google Play, has anybody rated it? 100 plus downloads, no ratings. Okay. Come on, 100 plus.
It's a lot of downloads, at least.
Yeah, I guess maybe this game is...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It says it's an alpha release. What does that mean in this context?
What says it's an alpha release?
I'm looking at the Google Play listing. At the bottom, it says, what's new? And then under that, it says alpha release.
Huh. I don't know.
Huh. Weird.
What's new? Alpha release. This is the alpha release version of the game. Was there, like, a version of it prior to...
Oh, I mean, that's what alpha usually is. It's the first one, and then beta, and then full.
Interesting. I guess I should know, huh? I know at one point we were asked to pick when the trial demo would end, and I gave them, like, two options. I think either at the end of Chapter 1, Chapter 2, or Chapter 3.
Right.
And then at that point, the game splits up into, like, four different pathways.
Oh, you wrote it with Abigail. Cool.
Yeah, she is... I mean,
saw her name on here, so that's public information.
Yeah, she appears in the Lost Oregon City Gold.
Yeah, she works at the museum, right, at the end of the Oregon Trail?
Yep. And this...
Cool.
Because she has, like, Regency stuff, I mean, that's why we asked her to work. I asked her to be in the Oregon City Gold. It's like, you probably have something which vaguely looks like it would be Oregon Trail era. That'd be easier than me getting a costume and making my wife wear it.
We definitely hire people based on the outfits that they have available to them.
Like, wasn't there somebody in Cat President 2 who had a doctor outfit?
Yep, because she's a scientist, so I specifically asked her to be in the game because I knew she had a lab coat. I'd seen her pictures of it before.
So we typecast her as person wearing lab coat.
Sure did.
It's great. And so the Regency person got typecast as...
Yep.
Yeah, no, but that was really good because she had a bunch of pictures from her... one of her Regency groups, and so we were able to use those as, like, the various images for the game without having to take, like, a bunch of new different pictures. She already had some, so that was awesome. That was great. It's like, you have pictures of people in period costumes. It's like, yes, that probably would have cost me a bundle to do on my own. Or I would. Yeah, I'm not in contact with the Regency group here. I actually have a contact in the pirate group, believe it or not. But I'm told those people are... It's mostly just an excuse for them to be rowdy and drink alcohol.
I need you to tell me everything about the pirate group. What is the pirate group?
Oh, man. So, just think of it like... You know, we've got the Renaissance Fair where people dress up in Renaissance costumes.
Yes.
There's also, like,
yes.
Regency things where people dress up in the 1800s costumes. There are pirate fairs as well. So I believe the convention in Oregon is called Tortuga. Tortuga Pirate Festival,
so cool.
In Lebanon, Oregon. And I think it's a yearly thing. And it's a...
Oh, it's coming up. Oh, wait. Is it? Yeah, is it coming up soon? Looks like it's like the end of August, usually.
Yeah, end of August, start of September.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yeah, there is a place in Oregon where people dress up like pirates every year and drink large amounts of alcohol.
A lot of rum-based alcohol, I would imagine.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. So our local Ren Fair has, like, Pirates Weekend as one of their themed weekends, but we don't have, like, specifically a pirate fest. That's rad.
There are also zombie walks. I feel like that's a similar thing of people dressing up in particular costumes.
Yeah, I mean, we sometimes have themed, like, races. Like, I mean, I only know about that because I run a lot of 5Ks, but we have one that is the... It's a Wonderful 5K because it's set in the town that is allegedly the inspiration for It's a Wonderful Life, and everyone dresses as Santas to do the run. It's pretty cool.
I know with the Oregon City, there's like many different places that do Oregon Trail runs or use the name Oregon Trail. And then people dress up in it. They always like posting. It's like, here's a picture of our previous runs. And they always include pictures of people in like costumes. Although it seems like it would be really hard to run in like a giant 1800 style dress.
Yeah. And they're wearing like boots and stuff too. Like, that's not good running equipment. Man, that sounds tough.
Yeah, I think, I mean, those are just people that are just doing that for fun as opposed to
sure.
actually trying to win a high score.
Yeah, sure. Oh, man. It sounds like you have some really cool festivals up there.
I guess. It's also like Naked Biking Day in Portland. Portland's got a lot of weird ones. But
how many times have you done that one?
I haven't done that. Isn't there like Naked Gardening Day in Portland and the Naked Bus Ride? There's sort of like a running theme, I think, with the Portland various festivals. Yeah.
We just have like Apple Festival.
Where people pick apples? That sounds good.
No, they don't pick apples. They just buy apples and look at art of apples.
Really?
Yes. We went to it one year. It's in Ithaca, New York. And it's the most crowded thing I'd ever, like, it's like the WrestleMania of apples. Like, you can't, like, move your arms. It's so tightly packed in there. So we actually haven't gone since the first time, especially not now in this COVID, post-COVID, whatever you want to call it, world. I don't really want to be that close to a lot of people.
Not for apples.
No, like, we can get apples at the grocery store.
Those are perfectly fine, I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway, what are we talking? Your game released. So where can people find it? You said it's on Google. Where else is it? Is it like there's like a web version too, right?
Yeah, I'm sure the Hosted Games or Choice of Games website. Yeah. And I don't think they are releasing it on Steam.
Oh. I think I remember your other games with them have usually like been on mobile, right? And they do quite well on there.
Yeah, they've been on mobile, well anyway. But they have not been on Steam, yeah. I don't think.
Is this one on iOS? I haven't seen an iOS link yet.
I think with iOS, Choice of Games has just an app which covers all their games.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They switched to that model at some point. I think that's what happened.
Okay, so there isn't like a separate link for your game. It's like you open the app and search for the game in the Choice of Games Hosted Game, whatever.
Yeah. iOS app. I don't know what point in history, because I know originally they had done the...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Separate ones, yeah.
That is super exciting. And that's Pride and Prejudice and Murder, right? That's the name of the game?
Yep.
Cool. Anything else exciting going on over there?
Nope, that's it. I've been busy and I've been trying to catch up with everything that happened on my vacation. I've been complaining about my long to-do lists and it's still got stuff from last month and we're at the end of this month. So school starts up again soon and hopefully that will give me enough time to do more, but my next project for video game work, I guess, will either be this artwork or just working on the scripts.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'll send you the AI art and see what you think of it all that I have so far. All
right.
Cool. It sounds like you got your to-do list down by like half so far, right?
I guess. New things got added to it today, right? Did it jump from like... 33 was like the highest. It went from 30 to 33 and now it's at 25.
Okay, so that is not half.
That is moving in the right direction.
Yes. But was Record Podcast on there?
No, it was not.
Oh, so you got to put it on there so you can cross it off.
Yeah, but that would make the list longer.
All right, have you played any games in the last couple months?
No, my to-do list is like 25 items. I'm just joking.
All right, I need you to do the podcast on your to-do list, and then I need you to put, like, play Link's Awakening or something, so you have something fun to do.
I did play... It was Awakening. It was Awakening the Dreamless Castle. They did a remake of that game, and I played through the original and I played through the remake, and that was it for my gaming. I also played Lost Oregon City Gold on vacation, got to show that off to Grandma.
Oh, did Grandma like it?
Yeah, she thought it was good.
Oh.
So I had a question. I guess this is tangentially related to video games, but, you know, when I do, like, I make a video of me playing the entire game from start to finish without any commentary. I don't know, should I post that before or after, like, the normal walkthrough of the game with commentary?
You're asking the wrong person. I don't watch a lot of Let's Play videos one way or the other.
Yeah, me neither, but it feels like, you know, if I could go back in time, that's something I should have been doing all along, is post a no-commentary version of every walkthrough.
Huh. You should certainly post both of them in general, if that's possible. Then you have twice as many videos out there for people to find and click on ads on.
Yeah, I feel like with the no-commentary videos, people want one that covers the entire game, I believe. I think that's the way the market is now. Obviously, I started back when, like, there were only 10-minute videos allowed, period.
Yeah, that's what, like, all of my Let's Play videos are from Game Cola. There are all these weird little 10-minute ones.
Trying to find a natural stopping place for each video.
Yes.
And it was like Earthbound. You took, like, a 4-month break in between talking to the one person in the hut on the beach.
Did I? Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds like me. I saw, I forget if you were on the Game Cola Discord channel, but there was a lot of people talking about our 999 Virtue's Last Reward, all those games walkthroughs recently. There was some chatter about those.
I don't follow that.
People going back and watching them again.
I did log on to Discord to record the podcast, and there were like 78.
Yeah.
They said, hey, you've got 78 things you can look at. So I'm sure I could look at it at some point.
Yeah, because when we did that second one, you were like, what, like literally recording your 3DS with a digital camera or something, right?
Yeah, I still don't know how to record a 3DS. but it works. Just I turn off the light in my room and record it with my iPad, and that's it.
Amazing.
My phone. I guess I can use my phone, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Phones are strong enough to do that now. Phones can record in HD.
Let's see. I just finished a couple of days ago the DLC for Life is Strange True Colors. Life is Strange : True Colors : Wavelengths, which was like the most chill experience. You play as the character Steph from the Life is Strange games, working as a DJ in a radio station / record shop, and the whole game is just kind of like answering phone calls and work and like decorating your store and listening to music, and planning Dungeons and Dragons campaigns for your friend. And that's it. There's not much in the way of drama. It's just like very, very slice of life game set in this otherwise extremely dramatic, melodramatic universe. It was a very chill experience. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
I was going to say, it's like, that doesn't sound like it's in line with the other Life is Strange games.
Yeah, exactly. That's what... But it was especially interesting for me because I was just playing it off of the heels of The Quarry. Have you heard about this game?
Nope.
So it's by the same people who made Until Dawn, and it's a very similar gameplay style to Life is Strange, except that it's like an interactive slasher film where you're playing as these six or whatever, five or six teenage camp counselors at a camp that's being terrorized by the homicidal maniacs. And trying to survive the night. So that was intensely stressful, so it was very cool to switch over to this Life is Strange DLC thing and switch over to the chill, relaxing game, which turned out to be a much better game to play right before bed.
Yes.
Quarry was. Both extremely enjoyable experiences, though. Highly recommend. I just love that style of game where it's just kind of wandering around and making what are presented as impactful decisions about your character, whether or not they actually turn out to be impactful. I don't know. I find that stuff extreme. Like, just hook it into my veins. I want more.
I was trying to figure out, I don't know how to do, like, the super impactful, important decisions in our games. It's more, which line of dialogue do you want to say next?
Well, I mean, that's sort of the thing with these games, too, is that a lot of that is very illusory, which you can tell if you go back and replay them, or if, like, you read through a wiki article that says what happens with each decision. Like, most of the decisions in the game are very similar to ours. Like, maybe you don't see the impact until later, but it's still, like, generally something minor. There's usually only a few things that are really important. In the quarry specifically, these could be decisions that get you eaten by a giant monster if you do it wrong. But I mean, a lot of times it really just is stuff that only impacts the game in minor or cosmetic ways. But it still feels good to have that sort of choice and impact.
Usually what we've done in the past is like, okay, you made the good decision, then it's like, okay, plus one to the good decision thing.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the game, it's like, oh, did you get six in the good decision thing? Well, you got the great ending. Or if you only got two, you get the bad ending. But I was thinking, what if we tried something like, I've only seen this once, but it's like, okay, it goes up 25% of whatever it is you're already at.
Hmm. Okay. I think I've seen that in choice games sometimes, where, like, when you increase a stat like strength or something, like, it'll change by a percentage rather than just plus one or plus two.
Yeah. I was just wondering if there would be a way to include that in the...
I think that's something that we could code. Just be slightly tweaking. Instead of plus one, it would be like X equals X times 0.25, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. It would involve the number 0.25 in some way. X equals X plus X times 0.25. Does that sound right?
I don't know.
Not a math person.
No. It just also, you know, dating sims, it is always does seem a little odd sometimes when the choices are, okay, we have very good choice and then transparently bad choice. So just trying to find some sort of in between.
Yeah. Well, it's tough to find that balance, right? Because, I mean, I think players want to feel like they're making an informed decision. So you want to make it somewhat clear to them, like, what is the good choice. But then you're also making it too easy, in a sense, to you know, just get the quote-unquote good ending. If it's just, like, obviously the choices are insult this person or compliment this person. Like, typically the compliment is very clearly the good choice. But if the choice is too ambiguous, then people might feel cheated because they weren't able to figure out on their own what choice to make to achieve their goal. That it was, you know, kind of random. Maybe people don't like that either.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the solution between those two things is. I think we were talking last month about having, like, three different choices, and sometimes two of them are good, one's bad, or, you know, two bad, one good, or one's normal and two are good, etc.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of an interesting way to do it, is to sort of have more than two choices and sort of mix up how many are good, bad, neutral, etc. in each one. At least make it more of a choice that way. Or one thing I've been doing in my road trip game that I've been programming too is, I sort of weight all the choices. So, like, something minor might just be worth plus one, but if you do something really good, it'll add plus three to the meter, or something like that. And each decision point, it isn't necessarily like you either get plus three or minus three. It's like you choose this really good option, you get plus three. You choose this option, nothing happens. You choose this other option, you know, it's just minus a little bit. So it's not like every choice, every option and every choice is equally weighted. I've been kind of messing around with that.
Yeah, I think with the Goosebumps Babysitters game, one other thing I've been doing is, like, every tree has, like, three or four options, but I run it through a randomizer to determine what order the options appear. Got around to programming it. I don't know if that's really going to affect very much. I'm sure it's something that nobody's going to notice, actually. But interesting, nonetheless, to try to mess around with that.
I think, too, like when we did, I think it was Too Many Santas, in the script, it was always in the order of the good, the nice choice and then the naughty choice. So I think if I recall when I was coding it, I would like flip a coin to determine which one would actually go first, so it wasn't the same every time. So sort of similar. I think your way is kind of interesting. Now every playthrough it's going to be randomized. That's much more interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's more obvious when there are three options as opposed to like there's just two options.
Sure. All right. I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Argelfumpf, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on PC and, occasionally, on console. Or just visit orock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is by Fifth Avenue. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we would love to hear them. Email them to podcast@orock.com. Is there anything that you would like to add, Michael?
Oh, yeah. Feel free to message us with questions and stuff. That way we could fill the dead air at the end of the podcast.
With the part where something. We get tired of talking.
It's like, oh, have you played any games? Well, it's games you've never heard of. Great. I played games you've never heard of. That's cool.
Maybe we just need a third person who
somebody
plays
who's
video games more than we do.
Played all our the yeah. same games as both of us, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, someone. Yeah, we need like a Venn diagram because I think we're a couple of circles next to each other. So we need someone who creates the circle between both of us. Can we get the AI art generator to join the podcast? All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. The story will be told. Go!
Anything else we want to talk about?
Do we have anything? Oh, man, this podcast only. Okay. We've got to figure out something else to talk about,
we
I
need
suppose.
To talk. All right. Have you?